Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Today's topic is how to celebrate singleness. And hang on, wait, give me 30 seconds. For those of you who are saying, well, that topic has no relevance in my life. Do you have anyone in your life who is single? And do you care about that single person? Then you need to listen in so that you may pass this on to that person. Because the gospel of Christ is not just for us, it's for everyone that you care about and love. So let's do that. Let's engage. So here's the question. What's better, singleness or marriedness? How would you answer the question? And you're going to say, well, hold that thought. Let me ask it in a better way. Let's ask all the single person in your life. What's better, being a single person or being married? And they're going to say to you, well, there are things that I appreciate about being single, and there are things that I miss about not being married. What's it going to be? Let's ask all the married people in your life. Let's ask them, what's better, being single or being married? And they're going to say, well, not so easy. It's complicated because there are some benefits of being married and there are some cons about being married. When it comes to singleness, when it comes to marriedness, we have two mistakes. May I call them sins? We commit two sins. In the traditional cultures and in the past, more so than nowadays, people, church, cultures have idolized married life. As in, unless you're married, unless you have children, you are nobody. You know that look people give, like, you're not married? What's wrong with you? You know, kind of look. Or, you don't have children? What's wrong with you? Kind of look. Okay? People, cultures, church have idolized marriage and family. And we should repent for that. And that is to say, we were told or we believed, unless I'm married, I am nothing. I am no one. And the word I use is, idol. You idolized marriage. And that's because at the very core of who you are, your identity, your self-worth, you are attaching your self-worth, what is most important to you, your identity, with marriage. And unless you're married, you are nobody and nothing. Your self-worth is diminished. Conversely, we also make the opposite sin, which is we idolize singleness. This is more so in the modern day than what it used to be in the past. As in, my independence, my autonomy is the most important thing. And no one tells me. No one tells me who I am. No one tells me what to do because I dictate who I am and what I'm worth and my choices. This is my body. I am independent and I am autonomous and I am going to be a single person. And that's what defines me. So I'm going to work. I'm not going to get married. I'm going to have sex. I'm going to do all these things. No kids, no family, no wife, no spouse. Because I get to dictate who I am as a single person. In that scenario, we too have committed the sin of idolatry, making your singleness at the very core of who you are. So I want to say a prayer. And I want to get to one of the most difficult chapters in the Bible. This is the 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So I need to pray for myself. Would you join me? Lord God Almighty, Father in heaven, you are the inventor. You are the maker of singleness and marriedness. Because these are your ideas. Help us to see the beauty and the glory and the truth of singleness from your Holy Scripture and help us to live accordingly. Now help me to deliver your message clearly and inspirationally. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. So use the sermon outline, and here's what I'm asking you to write down for the theme and the goal of this message. The risen Christ transforms singleness into a satisfying gift. Let me repeat that. The risen Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, the maker of heaven and earth, and the maker of singleness, this is his idea. He transforms, he alters, he changes the very core and the nature of what it means to be a single person. He transforms singleness into what? A very satisfying, fulfilling gift. It's a gift. We receive it, therefore, and this gift is satisfying. So let's get to that. We are in the season of Eastertide. According to the church calendar, Eastertide is the season that follows the Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is risen, and he's seated at the right hand of God, and therefore, how then should we live? Since Christ is alive, Christ is the Lord of all lords and King of all kings, and he rules and reigns, how then shall we live? And one of the ways is that we cultivate healthy relationships. This is our current series called Fragile. Handle with care. Relationships are fragile, and that's why we gotta handle them with care. And this is all about how to cultivate healthy relationships. So today, we're gonna talk about singleness, people who are single. How do we celebrate that? How do we breathe life into this topic, okay? So let's get to it, I will be reading from parts of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, as I said. So let's go there. The risen Christ transforms singleness into a satisfying gift by three ways. The first one is by completing the glory of singleness, by completing, fulfilling the glory, the beauty of singleness. Follow me along from verse 17 to 24. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Let me repeat that. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called to Christ's slave, The one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. So that's the principle. How is Christ transforming the gift of singleness? By completing the glory of singleness. Look at, the Apostle Paul is saying, when Christ called you, were you circumcised or uncircumcised? Circumcision is referring to becoming Jewish. And the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is saying, it doesn't matter. What matters is not that you become more Jewish by being circumcised or becoming uncircumcised. What matters is something more glorious. And I get to that. In the same breath, when Christ called you, were you a slave? You don't need to become free. What matters is whatever you were when Christ called, remain as you were. Were you uncircumcised? Remain uncircumcised. Were you circumcised? Remain circumcised. Were you a slave? Remain a slave. What matters is that you become this person, glorious image bearer of God that God created you to be. What that means is the same principle is being applied here. Because the Apostle Paul goes on to say, now, were you single when Christ called you? Don't get married. You don't need to get married. What matters is that you are found as this person in Jesus Christ, fully glorious, fulfilling, becoming the fullness of the image bearer of God. And that's what counts, obeying the commands of God. And in the ultimate commands of God is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. And in the person of Jesus Christ, you are able to love the Lord your God with all your being. You are able to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's because Christ is completing the glory of who you are, period. So were you a single person when Christ called you? Are you a single person now? Jesus is saying, you don't need to get married to complete the glory of your personhood. So remain as a single person. And this is a profound and theological teaching. Let's get to the second point. How does Christ, the risen Lord, transform singleness into a satisfying gift? By, write this word, by elevating the status of singleness. Jesus is raising the status of singleness. Read with me, verse 25 to 28. Now, about virgins or singles, those words are synonymous. I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. Let's continue on with verse 36 and 38. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right. But he who does not marry her does better. This is an amazing, like earth-shattering declaration, because Christ is elevating the status of singleness. Let me start with this observation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when you look at him, as human beings that we are, as those who are made in the image of God, when we look at Jesus Christ, you know what you're looking at? You're looking at the fullness of humanity. He is the ultimate human being. What it means to be an image bearer of God, what it means to be a man and a woman, you look to Jesus. He is the fullness of humanity. You can't get better than that. You can't improve on that. And Jesus Christ, last time I checked, is single. He's not married. He's a single person even as we speak. What this means is, as we read about people who are engaged to be married, you want to get married? Go for it. God will bless you. You are not engaged and you don't want to get married? Go for it. God will bless you. Meaning, you know what the Apostle Paul is doing? This is 2,000 years ago, in a very, very conservative, traditional culture and place and time, and people, right? So, as we said, in that culture, in that time, marriage was at the highest esteem. It was held at the highest esteem, as in, you are nobody unless you are married. You are nobody unless you bear children. You are nobody unless you become of a husband and a father. And yet here comes this radical revolution. Nope. They're both at the same level. Marriedness is good. Singleness is good. In fact, this is not entirely clear, but the Apostle Paul says, the one who does not marry, the one who remains single, does even better than the one who says, I'm going to get married. Same status. Jesus Christ is elevating, restoring, redeeming the worth and the value of singleness. This is amazing, amazing, amazing. And that's because Christ removes the sin of idolatry in singleness and in marriage. He's saying, when you are in Christ, that's what matters. You are loved by the Lord. You are accepted by the Lord. Your identity is founded on what you are. No, it's not. It is founded on, however, who you are. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to Him, mind, body, and soul, and your status as a single person. And that's why this is a revolutionary understanding. Did you know, in my research, I found out, one historian wrote this book on Roman empires, okay? And Tiberius, the Roman emperor, he made it illegal for widows to remain unmarried after 2 years. Once you become a widow, you had to get married within 2 years, otherwise you were fined. Why? And that's because in that time, in that culture, widows or singles, they were dead weight. They didn't matter. They were dishonorable. And as a nation, as an empire, they had this edict. You have to get married within 2 years of becoming a widow. Now, comes along Jesus Christ and His people, and right here, in the body of Christ, for the first time in human history, widows were told, you don't want to get married? You don't have to get married. We will take care of you. Because the most important thing about widows and singles was the economical endeavors and implications. Unless you were married, you had no income. Unless you were remarried as a widow, you had no livelihood. And that's why they had to get married and remarried. And then church said, no, you don't. We will take care of you financially. We deem that Christ elevated the status of singleness. You are not worse off. You are not better off than married people. We are all found in the eyes of the living God as His own children, and therefore we will take care of you. That is just mind-boggling that the status of singleness was elevated to the same level as marriedness. Third, how does the risen Christ transform singleness into a satisfying gift? Number three is by maximizing the impact of singleness, by bringing it into fruitful fruition, that as singles, you can make great impact. Let's look at verse 32 and 35. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Did you hear that? Here's one huge advantage of remaining a single people in God's world. You get to devote your mind, body, soul, and spirit entirely to the Lord. Your interests and your energy and your passion are not divided as they would be if you were married. When you have a spouse, when you have a husband, when you have a wife, when you have children, your time, which is very limited, is divided. Your talents are divided. Your devotion is divided. And as a single person, you can do so much to the glory of the Lord as it pertains to engaging in ministry, engaging in the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are free, or I should say you are freer than that of someone who is married. So in conclusion, let's wrap it up. The risen Christ transforms singleness into a satisfying gift. By completing the glory of singleness, by elevating its status, and by maximizing the impact of singleness. As we conclude, I want to offer you the three personal practical applications and prayer. First, did you hear a promise for you to claim? Did you receive that for yourself, that singleness is a gift, a very satisfying gift? Is there a sin to confess? Perhaps you have idolized the gift of singleness, or perhaps you have idolized the gift of marriedness. Is there sin to confess? And third, is there a challenge to accept? How is the Holy Spirit leading you to take the next step? Is there a challenge that the Lord is saying, accept it? This is for your own good. Let me just conclude by saying, well, since singleness is a gift, how do you know you have received the gift? Has everyone received the gift? No, not everyone has. Only some of us. Most of us have not received the gift of singleness. So how do you know? Well, let me take you. Verses 6 and 9. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Let me give you two indicators, two assessors by which you may know that you have received the gift of singleness. One is this. Do you have this burning desire for passion? This is written in the sexual context. You know you have the gift of singleness if you have a gift of celibacy. Do you have that? And if you don't have the gift of celibacy, I don't think you have the gift of singleness. So that's one indicator. Another one is this. You may think about companionship. You long for it, but you're not consumed by it. it's more of, you know, sometimes I would like to have a companion. But it's not this full-on, always in the forefront of your attention. You're not always thinking about it. And you know some people who have this drive, like they feel like, oh, I don't not only have the gift of celibacy, I need this companionship. God did not give me the gift of singleness, therefore. So this is how you discern. And as we conclude, I do want to say this. As the body of Christ, church community, oftentimes singles feel marginalized. And that's not because by intentionality. It's not like, you know, not like churches think of singles as second-rate citizens and friends. That's not the case. Churches tend to, in a sense, promote and cultivate family values, spouses, husbands, wives, and children, and by so elevating the values of traditional family as they are found in the Bible, inevitably singles feel left out. This was unintentional. So therefore, one application is, as the body of Christ, we should celebrate singleness, and we should be careful about how we communicate. It's not just families. We should say households instead, because households include both married couples and singles. And also in our demeanors and how we interact, we should be very sensitive to singles as well. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this gift of singleness. We bless our friends who are single. It can be a lonely journey, but as they discover the gift of singleness, and as we come along their side, we support them and we help them to utilize this gift you have given them. May they feel the presence of the risen Christ. We also pray, O Lord, as you give us the promise to claim, a sin to confess, and a challenge to accept, may your name be glorified. We pray all this in the name of Christ. And God's people said, Amen. Let us respond to the rich grace of Jesus Christ. We always, always respond. We call this action items. We call this next steps. We call this expressions of faith. So one thing we could do is, let me offer two. One is, let us bring our first fruits and our tithes to the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us honor him with our trust, thanksgiving, by bringing to him the first fruits. The second application is this. Hey, find a community where you can join as a single person yourself, or as a house church, small group, as the community of Jesus Christ. Receive and welcome singles and help them to foster this gift of singleness. Would you do that? Next Sunday, the topic is how to talk about sex. So join us on the topic of how to talk about sex. Receive God's parting blessing. Dear friends, brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore. And everyone said together, Amen. Love you, miss you. See you next week.